book of Ephesians, first chapter. I feel to begin a series from the book of Ephesians, but not an exegete, not a homiletical, perfect move through the book. I don't care about that. What the Lord has impressed me with, and I believe that if I share with you this little example, that you'll see where I'm trying to come from. How many has ever read the Word of God and you heard the words going on and on inside of your head, and you saw the black and white or perhaps the red and white on the page, but you would say, what in the world does that mean? You heard the words in here, you saw the words there, but when you had read the passage, you had no understanding of what that thing was talking about. Maybe a couple of months, a couple of years later, you came back to that same passage and you was reading it again. And this time maybe there was a few verses or a few passages within that section that you began to glean from, and some truth began to jump out at you and you began to get a little bit from that passage. Is that, amen? You with me? Maybe a couple of years later, you read it again and all of a sudden that passage was illuminated and you knew what it was talking about. Has that ever happened to you? Man. Well, you see, what happened is those words changed, right? The Bible changed. It wasn't saying, it wasn't reading. It changed, wasn't it? What changed? You changed. I changed. The book of Ephesians, in particular the first chapter, particularly the first 14 verses, were that way to me. I had no grasp of what that thing was talking about. It was just... Paul seemed like he was rambling on, and he talked about things like predestination. He talked about being sitting in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ. He talks about all these things, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He talks about how the church is the fullness of Christ. And I had no understanding, no grasp at all of what Paul was talking about. And I heard the words in my head, and I saw them on the page. But I had no understanding at all of what that was saying. And the thing is that the words didn't change. Delbert did. And in particular, the thing that changed about Delbert was the way he thought. All of a sudden, I found out that I was thinking more and more and more like Paul. All of a sudden, the Spirit was doing a work in me, and I was beginning to grasp and understand some of these scriptures. The words don't change. We change. The thing that I have heard so much over the past months in my spirit is that we don't look at things, we don't understand things like the writers understood things. If we did, we would understand what they're talking about. There wouldn't be any gray areas in our understanding. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind so that we can grasp and understand what Scripture is trying to say to us. These words aren't going to change. And for you to understand what they're saying, you have got to change. So long and for nearly a century now, what the church has done is tried to change the words to its society rather than trying to change its society to this word. And in so doing, we have changed the church according to the world system and not the world system according to the church. And it's time that the Lord starts doing a work in us. It's time that the Lord allows us to start bringing forth the manifold wisdom of God. Now, that's one of those passages of Scripture that always gave me blurred spots. What are you talking about here, Paul, when you said the manifold wisdom of God? Let's read that. Let's read that before we get started here. Look in the third chapter of Ephesians. How many will agree with me that we need some adjusting in our thinking, that we don't know it all yet, and that the Lord wants to help us? But to allow Him to help us, we have got to change. He's not changing. These words won't ever change. What has to change is the way we understand the words. In the third chapter of Ephesians, let's start at the 8th verse. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many understood that? You understand a little of it. I want to understand all of it. I want to understand this, but not only know it, but live it. The book of Ephesians is about having spiritual revelation and understanding. Paul says, when I pray for you, I pray that the Spirit will give you revelation and understanding. I'm going to go back to where we just read. See, there's so much in here. But he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And the verse before that, he says, when I pray that the Father of glory may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I know a lot. I know a lot. I know a lot more than I believe. Okay? You with me? Signs don't follow them that know. Signs follow them that believe. Another way of saying this is this way. I know a lot more than I walk. And the book of Ephesians is divided into two sections, knowing and walking. I know a lot, but I don't walk in all that I know. Now, be honest with me. Now, back to where we were about revealing the wisdom of God, manifested wisdom, manifold wisdom of God. The reason and the purpose of the church, hear me, the reason and the purpose of the church is to be able to think like God thinks, to reveal his manifold wisdom. Is that too heavy? Is that too far out? Is that too up here for us? I trust not. If you look at that passage in that light, you'll see that's God's eternal purpose. To have a people that thinks like he thinks. And a people that not only thinks that way, but will proclaim that to the powers, to the rulers, to those that administrate in the heavenly places. That's what the church is all about. Is the church doing this? No. The church is running. And we're to be attacking. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. Gates don't attack. We attack gates. And the church is in a mindset of losing. Paul wasn't in a mindset of losing. Paul was in a mindset of manifesting the wisdom of God to the principalities and to the rulers. Was he? Paul said, I want to teach you how God thinks. Jesus says, this is how I think. This is the way you do it. I say, the Old Testament said, don't get angry. Old Testament said, don't kill. I say, don't get angry. Old Testament says, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say, don't lust after a woman. What's happening is that the Lord wants to reveal to us by the spirit of wisdom and revelation how he thinks. And folks, this is a mystery. You cannot think like God thinks unless God shows it to you. You cannot think like God thinks unless he peels off the scales from your eyes and allows you to see into the spirit realm, which is the kingdom of God. Why are you born again? Why? Everybody, why are you born again? Not just the front row. Front row, be quiet. To hear and to see and to enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, and this isn't in my notes. Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, Lord, tell me what this is all about. And Jesus says that unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Not go to heaven. It's got nothing to do with going to heaven. What we're talking about is getting into a place, into God, where it's like he thinks and it's like he does. And no longer Old Testament says higher than the heavens is above the earth is God's ways above our ways. But should it be? Should it be? Paul saw a people. Paul saw a people who manifested God in the earth. That's why you're called the body of Christ. Ephesians 4. This is the way Paul thought. We'll talk about this as we move on through this. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain unto the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, King James says a perfect man, to the measure. Now, where are we coming to? Where did Paul see the church coming to? Where does the Apostle Paul see this people who allow apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to influence their life with the grace of God? Where does the Apostle Paul see this people coming to? Where? To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Can you hear what I'm saying? We're not losing, folk. We're winning. Now, it may not look like it, but the church is not going to lose. Now, it may be a whole other set. It may be a whole other generation. I pray to God we're raising up a generation that doesn't have losing on its mind, but sees itself as a people that are supposed to proclaim to the principalities and to the rulers the manifold wisdom of God, that can stand and say, this is the way God thinks. This is the way it'll work. You want your marriage to work? You got two ways. Your ways and God's ways. One is building upon sand. It's a promise in the Scriptures. It will fall. The other is building upon the rock, which is the sayings of Jesus Christ. It's a promise of God. It will stand. Here's a people that stands and tells you and proclaims the way God thinks. The manifold wisdom of God. Write this down. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 says this. Brethren, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. But we shall see him as he is. And everyone that hath this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. There is going to be a church, not just a church. I'm talking about a universal church that covers the earth as the waters cover the sea, and reveals to the rulers and to the authorities the manifold wisdom of God. Wow. The church doesn't think like that today, people. We got leaving on our mind. We're not going anywhere. He says, I pray, in Romans chapter 16, he says, shortly that you will put Satan under your feet. It's the church that's going to put Satan under her feet. All right. That came from inside of me. I want us to know that the church is not where it needs to be. The thinking of the apostles and the prophets, the thinking of Jesus Christ, was a victorious people, a people who are more than conquerors, a people who are overcomers in this earth, in the world, but not of the world. He even prays. He says, Father, I pray. Look at it. John, I think it's 17 and 14 or 14 and 17. He says, Father, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. We're victorious. I want to have a mindset of winning. Coaches try to program into the ball players a winning attitude. If you go into a ball game and you think you're going to lose, you're going to lose. If you're a Christian and you think you're going to lose, you're going to lose. That's not the way the apostle thought. He says, you're more than conquerors. The Lord's given us every riches in glory. He's given us riches in the heavenly places. All we have to do is bring these riches forth. Now, let me see if I can get going here. It's a mystery. What I've just proclaimed to you is a mystery. It was the mystery that was revealed to Paul. It's the manifold wisdom of God, which is a mystery. No other apostle, other than John in the book of Revelation, talked about the mysteries of God. And you cannot see and understand the mysteries of God unless he lets you see them. Let me show you this. Look, and I'm coming back to Ephesians. We really are going to do a study in Ephesians. Let's look at the book of Matthew chapter 13. We have to realize this. Matthew 13. Here is Jesus' parable about the seed and the sower. Now, he's talking in parables, and the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, why do you talk in parables? Why is it that you don't make it very clear to us? And the Lord answers in verse 10 through verse 16. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "To you it has been granted to know what? To know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." Please hear me. There are some people that will never hear the message of the kingdom of God. There are some people who will never understand that the church will be here until we, as Adam first was originated to do, subdue the earth. There are some people that will never understand that the body, the church of Christ, is to be one body. That's a high revelation. And that's the mystery of what Paul saw. We'll see that in chapter 2. He says, "You're now of the commonwealth of Israel." He says, "This is the mystery that's been given to me, that the Jew and the Gentile become one new man." You see, we think we do real well if we get together on the fifth Sunday and have about four or five churches participate. But what Paul saw, what the Apostle Paul saw, was that everybody is one. And the only thing that divides us and separates us is man's doctrine, not the Apostle's doctrine. Man's dumb doctrine separates us. He says, "For whoever has, to him shall more be given." How many wants a little mystery? If you'll get a little of the mystery, he'll give you some more. "For whoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be what? Taken away. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see." They read the same passages of scriptures, folks, that Paul wrote. They read the same passages that I read. They read them. They have the same teachers, learned the same way of reading that I learned reading. But what's happened is the Spirit has decided that because they have not allowed the grace of God to work in their life, and I'll get into the grace of God through this study. We're going to understand the grace of God. But because they haven't allowed the grace of God to work in their life, then the Lord has put scales on their eyes. Okay. Apostle Paul, on the way to Damascus, persecuting the church. The Lord says, "I really want you, Paul." Bang. Gave to Paul a great light. Showed Paul a great light. And that light blinded Paul. When you first see this, you know what it'll do to you? Do you know what it'll do to you? When you first start really hearing and seeing what God is really saying, that He wants a people in the earth that thinks like Him and that manifests that thinking, do you know what that'll start doing to you? It'll blind you. How many know what I'm talking about? It'll confuse you. You say, "Whoa!" That's exactly what happened to Paul. Paul was blinded. Now, the Lord gave Paul, two avenues to take. He says, "You can go to Ananias' house, and I'll send somebody there. You can go to Judah's house on the street called Straight, and I'll send Ananias to lay hands on you and pray for you so that those scales will fall off and then you can see. Or you can go about your way, Paul, and be blind for the rest of your life." And you and I can do the same thing, folk. When He starts revealing things to us, we can do one of two things. Because to who some is given, He promises you more. But if you won't take what He's given you, He'll take it away and give it to somebody else. If you don't want it, please give it to me. I want all I can get. I want it all. I'll never stop. I'll never stop growing. I proclaim that. I will never stop growing in Jesus Christ. Not until I come unto the measure of the stature, which is the fullness of Him. Wow. When you first start seeing this, it'll blind you. It blinded me. It blinded my wife. I know it did. As I started sharing some things about the kingdom of God to people, it starts blinding them. Oh, no. That's not right. And you're waiting for somebody to come and help you. You start fasting. Paul fasted 3 days. Is this right? But he found out 3 days later he was talking in tongues. He had changed lords, changed kingdoms. He was out now doing about the Father's business. And that's exactly what happens to us. And he goes through here and Jesus says, "I want them to see and I want them to hear, but they close their eyes and they close their hearing." And verse 16 says, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." Folk, if God has opened His revelation to you and began to show you His mysteries, blessed are your eyes. If you're starting to hear these things in the Spirit, and you're starting to grasp that God is wanting a church that can reveal the manifested, manifold wisdom of Himself, if you're starting to see this thing and hear it, blessed are your ears. Because He says, man, I'm telling you, the prophets of old wanted to see this thing and they couldn't. But blessed are you. Is this all right? The Lord wants a people who will reveal the manifold wisdom of God. Are you kidding me? It can't be working. Ephesians 1, verse 1. I'm not even going to say first closing. Not even. I already got next. Best way for me to handle next Sunday is not even get a note. Not even take a note. Just go and talk. All right. Verse 1. Verse 1. I want to get this first thought because I want you to chew on this week. Next week, our primary thought is going to be the grace of God. The grace of God is wide in spectrum. I looked at every verse this past week about the grace of God in the Scriptures. I wanted to know what grace of God really is talking about. James says that some of you have turned the grace of God into licentiousness. You've used it for your own benefit. Paul talks about how some have departed from the grace of God. And I wanted to know what grace of God is. Grace of God saves you. And I wanted to know, so I looked at every Scripture concerning the grace of God. It's an extensive study, and I want to talk about the grace of God next Sunday. But right now, read with me the first verse, Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul, an apostle. Paul knew who he was. He used to be Saul of Tarsus, but God touched his life, and now he is Paul, an apostle. You can liken that to your life. You used to be somebody. You used to be somebody in whatever that it was that you were into. Paul was into religion. He was moving up the corporate ladder of the Pharisees. He had all the light that there was to have in that day of Phariseeism. He was a Roman citizen. He knew all about government. He knew all about the things of Rome. But he met a light that was more powerful than Pharisee light. He met a light that was more powerful than Roman light. And that light changed his life. He's no longer Saul of Tarsus, but he becomes Paul, an apostle. Your life is for a purpose. Your life has a purpose in the kingdom of God. It was not by happen chance that you were born into this earth. It was not by a coincidence. God ordained it. And He has given grace by such all men should be saved. You can accept His grace. You can accept His intervention and His power in your life, or you can reject it. It's up to you. You can depart from it, or you can receive it into your life and allow Him to make you what you're supposed to be. Paul knew what he was supposed to be. But the main thing that I want to bring out here is more important than Paul knowing who he was supposed to be. These Ephesians knew who Paul was. They knew he was an apostle of Christ by the will of God. And because they knew that, Paul was able to share the mysteries of God to these people. I can only share truth with you when you look at me as what I believe I am. Any elder, any man of God that stands behind this pulpit can only give you what you'll receive from them. They knew who Paul was. Paul talks about the mysteries of God in all of his writings. And I think it's in this book alone he mentions the mysteries of God. Mysterion, the sacred secrets of God. He mentions those, I believe, 6 times. And because they knew who Paul was, Paul could be used of God as a vessel of God to bring forth from the Lord and pour out to those people those mysteries. They saw him for who he was. They knew he was of Christ. They knew he was of the will of God. How did they know? How did they know? How do you know? How do you know if I'm of God? Heard several different answers. Fruit, God will reveal it. And there was another one, the Spirit. Sure, that's true. All of those are true. Matthew chapter 7 talks about how, and he's talking there about false prophets and false ministries. He says, this is how you'll know them. You'll know them by their fruit. He says there that a fig tree is not, does not bear, that figs are not born off of a bramble bush, off of a thorn bush. That a good tree won't produce bad fruit. He gives us ways. He says, know them that labor among you. Now listen, folks, this is so crucial today. This is so crucial today. We are living in a special time in God. A special time that's never been like this before. There are definitely, hear me, and you got to hear me in the spirit, and I'm not talking about anybody. And when I say this, that you're going to think that I'm talking about specific individuals, and I'm not, because I don't know. I really don't know. But I do know this, that the Bible says that the devil himself can disguise himself as an angel of light. Why do we think that it's strange when his messengers disguise themselves as messengers of God? The safeguards that God gives us is know them who labor among you. Know them. Their life has to be an open book. Paul talks about himself. He says, I'm like in a goldfish bowl. I'm before every man. Ministry's life is that way. It has to be that way. It has to be that way. You will not receive from me unless you know that I'm of God. You will not. And it is so vitally, vitally, vitally important that we understand this principle today. Paul knew who he was. I believe I know who I am. But I gotta bring out the point that the Lord's showing me today. And that is that they knew who Paul was. And because they knew who Paul was, then Paul was able to share with them the mysteries of God. I don't want to stay where we're at. I don't want to stay on the level of revelation that we're now walking in. I want to see us come into the measure of the stature, which is the fullness of Christ. And I want to be a part of that company. I want to see a people that move on into revelation and understanding the mysteries of God. A people that is able to bring forth and manifest the manifold wisdom of God. I want to see us come into warfare, true warfare, real warfare. Not talking about warfare, but warfare that drags down wicked imaginations. Warfare that brings down and establishes the kingdom of God. Paul in Ephesus, he brought down Artemis or Diana of the Ephesians. He brought her down. There are spirits in our area, folks, that we've got to bring down. And we've got to stop talking about it, and we've got to start doing it. And we won't ever do it unless we understand that God sends a man, He gives that man a message, and then we either accept or reject that message. Hear me as I close. This is it. Because they knew who Paul was, Paul could share what he called his gospel, which consists of some of the deepest truths and mysteries of Scripture. No other man, no other New Testament writer understood the mystery of the church like Paul. Peter even wrote that some things written by Paul are hard to understand. Hear me. The gospel that God's given me to preach is not the same gospel that He's given this wonderful man of God across the street to preach. Paul went to Arabia. He came back and he says, my gospel. God gives a man a message. And that is the message that that's the only thing he can teach. That's the only thing he can preach. The Ephesians knew this. In the first chapter alone, he talks about the riches which are in heavenly places. He talks about our sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He talks about predestination. How many understand predestination? Paul talked about predestination. He talked about the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He talked about the church being the fullness of Christ. That's just the first chapter. Those are the mysteries. Those are the truths. Those are the things that Paul was used of God to proclaim to those people because they knew who he was. The second chapter talks about one man, both Jew and Gentile. It talks about the commonwealth of Israel. It talks about being built on the apostles and the prophets. It talks about the church being a temple of the Lord and the habitation of God. That's still a high revelation. To most Christians, God is still out there somewhere. To Paul, he dwelt inside of the believer. My point is when we can receive ministry as God sent and of Christ, the Lord can then use that ministry to reveal His mysteries. To us, He'll reveal His mysteries if we do not receive the ministry as God sent. We are playing church. And will never change. Now, if you don't see, hear me, please hear me right. If you can't see me as a set man of God, if you can't see me as a man that God has sent here to bring a message, please find you some place to fellowship where you can. And I'm saying that in love, folks, because I want you to change and I want you to grow and I want you to receive what God has for you. And if you can't receive it from me, please find somebody that you can. It's too important. Listen, folks, this is too important. You have got to be able to receive from God's messenger. And if you can't get it here, please find someplace that you can. Is this important? Now, is that dangerous? Yeah. It's dangerous to look at somebody as a messenger of God. But it's not dangerous when that ministry submits itself to ministry. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 2, I think it is. He says, when I got this revelation, I went to Jerusalem and I submitted it to those apostles. I'm submitted to my elders. That's your safeguard. Folks, I've got some elders that I don't scare a bit. I don't scare them a bit. They see me and what God has called me to do. They know that the word of the Lord is coming through me, but I don't scare them. They're not yes men. It's dangerous unless that ministry is submitted. And that's what's happened over the past couple of years. Ministry was used of God, bringing a revelation of God, but was not submitted to other ministry. Ministry has to be submitted. If you do not see me as a man of God, sent by Jesus Christ, and having a fivefold calling, please find someone you do see in that capacity. Find somebody that you can submit your life to and allow to reveal into you the mysteries of God. Paul could grasp the mysteries of the kingdom of God and share those mysteries only because the church received him as Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. The only way you'll receive from me and allow me to help you and change your life as my life changes, please understand, okay? You understand that, don't you? Delbert's not standing up here in no means saying that he's got it all together. There's still a lot of things in Delbert's life that he's wanting the Lord Jesus to help him with, to mature him in. I want to be sweet, people. I want to be sweet. I want to be sweet now worse than I ever wanted to be sweet. I've always been mean. I want to be sweet. And God's got to help me be sweet. He's given me a hard message, and it's hard to preach this message and be sweet. If you know me, if you get around me, away from this place, you'll find I'm sweet. Do you hear what the Lord's saying today to us? Do you hear what the Spirit's saying? He's wanting us to change. He's wanting us to change, and we're going to see when we get to that fourth chapter how we're going to change, because he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers to change us. He gave some men of God that he could use to pour him out of them to people. I can only give you what I've got. I think it was Michelle we were talking. I'm done. I was talking to Michelle the other day, and I said, Michelle, anybody can only give what they've got. I said, if I've got the bubonic plague, but I say I've got the measles, and I lay hands on you and I touch you, what are you going to get? The bubonic plague or measles? Plague. Okay, because I got to give you what I got. I can't tell you that I'm something that I'm not, because eventually you're going to see it. I don't know all the answers. I wished I did, but I want to know them, and I want to understand these mysteries. I want to understand the church being the manifold wisdom of God. I want to understand the bringing down of principalities and powers. I want God to help us. How many of you today would say, that's what I want to? That's what I want to. I want the Lord to reveal himself, mature me, and bring me into whatever it is that I'm to become. I want to know, first of all, what God has called me to do. But secondly of all, I want to know what I'm to do in God. Would you raise your hand if that's you? Amen. Amen. Let's stand.